Until the 1860s, there was no such thing as an artificial pet food industry. But an American called Jack Spratt arrived in London and seeing people throwing scraps to the stray dogs at the docks, he thought he could create a business by selling people dog biscuits to feed the strays. It worked. And within a couple of years, he was expanding his business to New York and beyond. And according to Tom Lonsdale, author of Raw Meaty Bones, the artificial pet food industry has continued growing ever since.
In later years, I think it was in the 1920s, Chicago decided that they could can horse meat, and so they did. But all sorts of problems arose as a result of that, because meat without bones is insufficient for the needs of the carnivore. And so all sorts of problems have arisen. And throughout the development of the pet food industry, they've run into one problem after another. And so they tend to try and turn adversity into virtue. And they then come out and say, well, the latest craze these days is to say that their products improve the immune system. Why do they say that? Well, because the truth of the matter is their products do untold harm to the immune system. And so they supplement it with a bit of vitamin C and vitamin E and think that that turns the corner. Of course, it does nothing of the sort. So bad are these products that they have a whole range of different products for different conditions, for skin conditions and liver conditions and kidney conditions and so on. Because at core, it's the unnatural food that's brought about this ill health in the animals. And then they seek to prop them up by all sorts of artificial little tricks, which of course don't work, but the advertising tells you that they do.
If these things really don't work, how come it continues? How come the advertising can continue to say that it does work?
Very good question indeed. But then when the healthcare professionals are in bed with the poisoners, then you've got a big problem. And the vets, not always knowingly, often unwittingly, spout the conventional wisdom that's handed down from the pet food industry. Truth is, there's a lot of vets that do know the truth, but instead of speaking out against it, they just stay mum. When I stand for election to try and air this whole subject, it's interesting that I get about 10% of the vote in favour of a radical overhaul of the whole noxious system. And that's both here in the UK, been standing in the Royal College elections for the last 7 years, and in Australia now since 1993 it was when we first stood. So 10% of vets will vote for a big change, for a radical review and a committee of inquiry to find out what's been going on, to sort it out. Unfortunately, vets tend not to be very active about doing anything about it because they're fearful. They're fearful of the consequences. I myself have been subject to 5 separate complaints, all of which could have seen me being struck off the register for just speaking out and speaking the truth.
Now, why is it that if we know traditionally carnivores have to eat bones and raw meat and so on, is it that it's just not obvious and that vets wouldn't just turn around and say, well, yeah, you know, that's one way of feeding your pet? What is the problem?
Oh, there are many problems. They've been culturally conditioned into believing this right from an early age. I mean, it's gone without question. You see, the current generations of vets have grown up without actually knowing about a more natural way. They grew up feeding their pets out of cans and packets, watching the TV and believing the false and or misleading advertising. And then they went to the vet school, and either they got very little in the way of education, or such education they received was handed down from the pet food industry. In fact, each UK vet school has a staff member who is fully funded by the Mars Corporation. They make that a point of pride that they're funding people there to teach the new generations of vets how to feed the pets. But of course, they're telling them to feed out of their cans and packets. Is this right?
It seems that a lot of the pet food industry is built on the whole idea of convenience. It's very easy just to open a tin out of the cupboard and give that to your animal. Surely that is a pro for that kind of food, isn't it?
Well, that's the impression gained by people who don't take account of the other things on the other side of the ledger. You see, it's not convenient to have the bad stench from the animal at either end. It's not convenient to have the bad skin with the animal constantly scratching and irritating not only itself but the rest of the family who have to listen. It's not convenient to go to the vet every few minutes. It's not convenient to pick up the sloppy poos. It's not convenient to have a bad conscience about poisoning your pet. So I think once you start to add those things into your reckoning, then you come to realize that we've been dumbed down into believing that opening the can and the packet is so-called convenient and easy and okay for your pet. It's absolutely not. Once people start to realize that, they don't do half and half. They swing completely the other way. There's some amazing websites and internet discussion groups these days where people can go and learn more about this. I'd recommend people go to yahoogroups.com. and check out the raw feeding discussion group. And of course, once you realise the harm you're doing by giving the biscuits and the canned slop, then I think you'll find that most people recoil at the thought of doing that to their best mate.
If I decide to go down the raw meaty bones route for my pets,
yes,
I don't know how much to give them.
Ideally feed them once a day. Best time is in the evening when the flies have gone to bed. And so you throw out onto the back lawn a large piece of raw meaty bone. And you'll find that the animal will self-regulate. It'll eat as much as it wants, and after that, it'll leave the rest. And very soon, you'll get an idea. If somebody's wanting quantities, exact quantities, well, anywhere between 1 and 3% of body weight per day. Say 3% of body weight per day, 7 days a week, means 20% of the animal's body weight per week, right? One-fifth. If you've got a 5-kilo cat, give it 1 kilo of chicken wings per week and you'll be thereabouts right. 25-kilo dog, give it 5 kilos of food a week. Very few need more. In the same way that you can tell whether the family's had enough, you can tell when they're getting a bit roly-poly, and you can tell yourself whether you're getting a bit overweight by running your fingers over your ribs. Same with your pet. If you can feel his or her ribs and they just nicely ripple under the fingers, that's terrific.
That's Tom Lonsdale, vet and author of the book Raw Meaty Bones.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.